All right, thank you for being here tonight. We had a great time in the Bible Institute tonight. Great group. I hope that you will, if you didn't come, you can still come. Now you need to be here next week. And we're going to have a great, great, great time. And so I encourage you to be here for that. A couple things, excuse me. There is a bridal shower this Saturday for Melanie Gonzalez. And she is... She's doing us a favor and marrying my son. So there's ways to get your kids out of your house, okay? You just got to work hard at it. Just kidding. It is this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Is that all I need to tell them? They are registered at Amazon, okay? I personally want to be registered at Bank of America. That's where I want it. So, and then the basketball tournament next week, if you can help us. We did this for years, and it got a little bit... I don't know, just we quit doing it. And so a few teams contacted us and said, hey, why don't we get this back going? So we're getting it started, and it'll be going. So we could use some volunteers. It's going to be, we're doing it next Thursday and Friday. We got a really nice place, a facility to meet. It's really down the street from my house over off of 2nd Street and Studebaker. It's a really, really nice facility, but we could use some helpers. We have three different, I think there's a varsity tournament, JV tournament, and a volleyball tournament. And so we could use some volunteers. Also, if you could help us and maybe donate some snacks, we can use those as well. And then just come. So come see some of the games. Our girls, our guys, I don't know what they finished in the tournament up in Sacramento. They would have won, but they ran out of time. So I think they finished 4th. Our girls won the championship, and our JV team did well. So come support our teams. We'll have a great, great, great time there. It's not far from here. And if you can help us with any of that, you can see Brother Raw, or you can see my son, Jack, or talk to the school. That would be great. We are in our lesson. It's the last chapter that we're teaching as part of this. We're talking about spiritual fruit. We've talked about many subjects that we went through discipleship over the last, it's actually been a little over 2 years now we've been going through it. But we've been looking at spiritual fruit. And the principle is if we're spiritual and we're growing in our faith, naturally things will be produced in our life. If we're walking with God, we're spending time with Him, and we're seeking to grow as a Christian, we're growing, it's just like a tree. A healthy tree produces fruit, and God will produce fruit in your life. There will things that will come that are better than what we were before if we will allow that to happen in our lives. But we are first looking at the works of the flesh. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians there, but before that, it talks about the works of the flesh. And this would be like the enemy of having fruit in our life. If you plant a garden and you're trying to produce something, you're always going to have to deal with weeds. And you're going to have to kill the weeds, or the weeds are going to kill the fruitfulness of your garden. Well, that's what the works of the flesh are. And so they are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not going to belabor the point. We looked at it last week. But if we walk in the Spirit, we live our lives according to God's word and allowing His Spirit to work in our lives, that is the remedy to the works of the flesh. But conversely, if we get caught up in the works of the flesh, that would be the ruin of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, these are the verses we're looking at. We'll finish them up, and we'll start looking at the fruit of the Spirit. If it's not in your book, I don't believe it is. You can open your Bibles to it. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Some of these are really bad. Some of these we don't see as bad as others, but God sees them as being bad as well. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So there's all these things that God mentioned. Some of them are the far end of the spectrum, right? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm not at the far end of the sin spectrum, but I still delve over here. You know, envy, strife, arguments, things of that nature. The problem is that may not necessarily be as bad as some of the far end ones, murder, adultery, and those things, but they are still a work of the flesh. And they're still something God wants us to deal with. And the problem is, a lot of times if we give in to the smaller issues, they have a tendency to snowball and they become bigger issues. And so the best thing is just to fight it ahead of time. When we're talking about the works of the flesh, which is basically certain sins, there's three categories here. First of all, there are sins against ourselves. Some of these sins are sins that are not good for us. Understand this. All sins have consequences. Now, you go out and murder someone, that's probably going to have a really bad impact on your life. But you're over here fighting and envying with others, that has an impact in your life as well. But all sin has consequences. And the consequences vary from sin to sin. Some have far more devastating consequences. Of course, we understand the spiritual aspects of this as one of the biggest consequences. We would not necessarily see it as such, is that it disrupts our relationship with God. Yep. That's at its core. And when we allow sin to disrupt our relationship with God, that's when we can get into a lot of worse areas. Sometimes we talk about somebody and they were doing well and their life was going a good direction, and we'll say they fell into sin. And it almost makes it sound like, you know, they got up one morning, they're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're living for God, and all of a sudden they did something horrific. It doesn't work that way. There's small steps that lead us to the bigger ones. And so we need to be careful. But we have to understand that at its core, it affects our relationship with God. That's the main reason we should try to avoid all sin, even those that may not have the greater consequences. The problem for us is that we don't see a disruption in our relationship with God as a big thing. We just don't. We're so flippant in the things that we do in our life. And God wants to remain close to us. But if we're not careful, we just don't see that for what it is. And sin comes between you and God. But when we look at the sin and some of the sins that we can get involved with, there are sins that have physical consequences. Some sins, and I'll be sensitive here, mixed crowd, but there are sins that involve the use of our body, whether it's outward actions or things we're allowing inwardly. And when we're doing that, one of the consequences we may face are physical. I'm just going to be honest. All of us know people that they've got into some of these disruptive physically type of sins, and it ages them. Okay? It brings consequences. I've given the illustration before, but bear with me if you haven't heard it. Several years ago, I did a blood test. We were doing the doctor I take wants blood test every now and then. And my wife called and said, the doctor called and said, you had, was it C? Hepatitis C. Now, hepatitis C is either from drug usage or immorality. And I told, and my wife knew this. I'm like, that was wrong. It didn't bother me like one bit, because I wasn't involved in any of that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, they're going to rerun the blood work. I'm like, okay, I know. And it's going to come back that it was a mistake. And it came back, and it was a mistake. Okay? But some of that stuff comes into our life, and that's the worst incident. That sins against ourselves. Yeah. And it's very, very hurtful. Yeah. We talk a lot about health today, right? We want to eat organic food. No. You know? You don't? No. Okay. I'll do your funeral. That's fine. It's like, did you just say you ate at McDonald's?
I will.
Okay. You know what? We'll have a prayer meeting for this brother afterwards. He's got some serious issues. Probably drives a Ford. He does. Okay. But, you know, we eat organic food, you know, free-range chickens. And we take supplements, and I take supplements. My wife gives me a bunch of them, and I hope there's no poison in them. If I do, the life insurance just just expired, hun, so I wouldn't do that if I were you. We want exercise and proper rest, and we want to do the things to be as healthy as we can. But what about the effects of sin in your life? Not even, you know, things against our body. Do you know if we harbor bitterness, do you know that's not good for us physically? A strain in our relationships, do you know that's not good for us physically? And so some of the sins we do are sins against ourselves. So let's be very careful. By the way, one of the first consequences, well, not the first, the first consequence of sin with Adam and Eve is that they became sinners. And now they were under the judgment of sin eternally. But you know what was also built into that? Physical death. Do you know they would have never died if they never sinned? Sin is what brought the curse of death upon mankind. There's also, secondly, there's sin against others. These are the works of the flesh that are sins that we commit against other people. And by the way, one of the biggest violations would be a violation of what the book of James calls the royal law. In James chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Everywhere you look in the Bible, we're supposed to love other people. Yeah. We're supposed to treat them right. You say, but pastor, that's really hard. Duh. Yeah. Okay, I get it. But we're supposed to love one another. And that is the royal law. You say, well, you know, pastor, pray for me. I love God, but people I have a problem with. Okay. You're going to have a problem with God too. Because our love for God, our love for God is attached to love of others. We just revealed our theme on Sunday. Well, that's not it. We took it off. But we revealed our theme on Sunday. Now is the time from Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. But we looked at the verses ahead of that, Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. See? Verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Turn if you want to just listen. For this, now listen, he's talking about loving others. That's fulfilling the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You say, wait, all those sins he mentioned, you know what those sins are? Those are sins against somebody. Someone gets it caught up in adultery, they're sinning. They're not just sinning with themselves, they're sinning against others. Okay? The other person, the other family. By the way, we get on guys for that, but let's just lay it out here and be honest. It takes two to tango. Yep. He says, adultery, thou shalt not kill. That's another person. Stealing, we're taking from another person. Bearing false witness, we're lying about another person. Coveting, we want what they have. And then he says, verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So these can be sins that take things from others or that hurt other people. Well, let's just be right in this area. Let's be honest about our dealings. Let's do everything we can to live in peace and harmony with others. I know it's not always possible. You get some person that just, they want to be combative or whatever, but you don't have to reciprocate. You don't have to do the same, treat them the way they've treated you. Understand that sin is selfish. It's wanting my way. When I sin, you know why I sin? Because I want what I want. I want my way. I think I'm right. I want what's best for me. So sin is selfish, and we have a problem not seeing the impact. We have a problem when we don't see the impact our sin has in others. Look at all these things. Stealing. By the way, when did our society get to the place where if there's a storm or something, it's an opportunity to go clear out a Walmart? Look, don't fall for this. Well, we're protesting. Protesting what? You needed a 60-inch television? Well, I didn't steal from somebody. I just took from the store. Okay, economics 101. Do you know someone's paying for that? No. They're just going to adjust the prices. They're just going to adjust. We're stealing. We're taking from other people. Immorality, we're hurting others. Violence, we're hurting others. Coveting, we want what others have. If you really love somebody, you want what's best for them, right? You're going to put them ahead of yourselves. Now, that's a lot easier to say than to do. When I was in college, we were looking for a job. My buddy and I, he was my roommate. We came from the same church. We were really good friends. And so what we did is we filled out applications. There was one place that hired a lot of college students, and we went there and filled it out. And the guy said, "We're not hiring right now." So what we did is we just go back every few days. Like 3 days later, I went back. I walked in, and he was with me. And I'm like, "You guys hiring now? We just filled an application." He goes, "Not yet." 3 or 4 days later, we went back. I'm like, "You hiring now?" And the guy goes, "I like you guys. We just don't have any openings." And so one day, I'm like, "I'm going to go back out there." It was like a 25-mile drive. I'm like, "I'm going to go back out there, and I'm going to see if the guy if he's ready to hire." And my buddy's like, "I don't want to go." I'm like, "Just come on. Just come with me." And I had to talk him into coming, John. So we show up there. Now, we understood something. When you go in, you don't two of you go in. So we get there, and he hops out of the car and goes, "I'm going first." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, you didn't even want to come." And he took off. He goes in there, he talks to the guy, he comes back, I go in there, I take my turn. The next day, he comes up to me and says, "Hey, I got hired." And I'm like, and I didn't tell him, I'm like, "You bad person." I'm like, I was the one that wanted to go, not you. And you got the job? I was not happy for him, Brother Pineda. I was hoping that he got the flu or something like that. And God's like, "Hey, calm down here." It's like, "Isn't that guy your friend?" By the way, I was the best friend in his wedding. I was the best man in his wedding. Well, any wedding I was in, I'd be the best man. But I'm like, "Yeah, I'm glad he got the job. That just means God has something better for me." And once I got that all settled, the next day I got a call and I got hired. But that's how we are, right? Why did he get it? I should have got that. If we love somebody, we want what's best for them. We better move on. That's not going over very well. I don't even believe it. Just kidding. And then lastly, we need to understand, so there's sins against ourselves, there's sins against others, but really let's just boil it all down. They are just sins against God. Yeah. Sin is ultimately against God. And you know what will help us? When we get to the place where we see that, right? It's like Joseph. When Joseph saw Potiphar's wife, which was the perfect temptation for him, lonely, all alone, no family, and here's this beautiful woman throwing herself at him. And he didn't say, "I can't do this because you're not my wife and Potiphar's been good to me." But he ultimately said this: "How can I do this wickedness against God?" That right there kept him in line. That right there kept him from getting involved in something that would have ruined his life and would have messed up the last part of Genesis. But you know what our problem is? And we place our sinful actions that we enjoy ahead of God in our priorities. You know, we say God's number one, but there's just certain areas it's like, "Stay out, God. This is my life. This is my area." That is what the definition of an idol is. An idol is not a Buddha or some little a statue that you get down and you bow down yourself to. Really, for us, we're a little more sophisticated. An idol is anything that we place ahead of God in our life. And you know what happens so often? If we're not careful, we can place a sin ahead of God. We have to be very careful. We can put sports or hobbies or things that we want to be involved with, we keep them from worshiping God. Yep. By the way, someone goes out and says, "I'm involved with this team or this sport and I won't be here on Sunday," or "My football team's playing on Sunday," that's an idol. Yep. Okay, that's an idol. You've put that ahead of God. I hope your team loses. But if it's one of the teams I like, come to church so my team can win. Okay? Maybe I'm going to go out and, you know, bear hunting. Okay, well, I hope the bear doesn't win. But you put that ahead of God. Sometimes it's love of money, possessions. But sometimes it's sin. See, we know something we're doing is wrong, and yet we won't do anything to try to get away from it, knowing that it's going to hurt our relationship with God. We got to be very careful. We'll continue in it. And the longer we continue in it, the more we become committed to it. That's called addiction. So we have to be very careful. When that happens, sin comes more important to us than obedience to God. That's what it is. It keeps us from obeying God and getting his blessing in our life. And so the fact of the matter is, truth hurts our relationship with God. And whenever we sin, and we are willingly making that choice, what we are saying is, God, this is more important to you in my life right now. And that's somewhere we don't want to be. The works of the flesh occur when we choose to live life in our own power, and we're not letting the Spirit of God work on us. You know, it's a battle, but the one who wins can really be predicted. And you've heard a form of this story before, but it was an old Indian chief, and he had two dogs, and he was going to have them fight. That would be illegal now, and he'd probably go to jail forever. But he was going to have the dogs fight, and he brought all of his warriors together, and the chief says, I can predict who's going to win this fight. And he said, who? And he picked the one dog, and the dog won. They all looked at him afterwards and said, how did you know that dog was going to win? He goes, because I've been feeding that dog. He goes, I didn't feed the other one. So who wins in our life? The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Which one are you feeding? If constantly feeding ourselves things that would push us towards this side, we're gonna be involved in the works of the flesh. But if we're trying to let the Spirit of God and grow in our faith, we're gonna be more of a position to not lose that battle. The ultimate culmination of the plan of Satan is to have us be the deciding factor in all that we do. And that's where sin comes from, to be our own God. So we have to allow God's Spirit to develop fruit in our life. So let's now look at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are those outward qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our life. It will be nothing like the works of the flesh. You incorporate or you allow the Spirit to develop these fruits, that you look at that whole list of the works of the flesh, everything in the fruit of the Spirit is a rebuke to the works of the flesh. It's the safeguard. It'll keep us from being involved in those things. But we have to work. Fruit is an outside result of what's going on inside you. And as I've said before, you can fool people for a while, but who you are will eventually come out. Amen. So work on the inward man. Do the right thing, but keep the inward man going. How does that happen? It happens when the Spirit of God has greater control of our life. He is the one who is, are we a full of ourselves, or are we full of the Spirit of God? D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, one time, he got an empty cup, and he was standing in front of a crowd. He goes, how do I get the air out of the cup? You know, and somebody was trying to be, you know, get a vacuum. He goes, well, if you get a vacuum, the cup's going to break. Something's got to be in there. They tried to figure it out. He goes, it's very simple. And he grabbed a pitcher of water, and he poured it in the cup. And once the water was to the top, he goes, there, all the air is out. How do we get rid of, how do we rebuke the flesh? How do we get those things out of our lives? We fill our life with the Spirit of God. We let the Spirit of God take control of our life, and we do not have control of our life. Look, if God's Spirit is working on you, there is going to be evidence in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean that you get to the end overnight. It takes a while to get there. But you'll be able to look at your life and say, you know what? I'm not exactly where I should be, but I'm heading in that direction. Keep going in that direction. Let the Spirit of God develop in your life and push you to where you need to be. His character will be produced in us. And his character will then be witnessed by those around you. What does Matthew 7:16 say? You shall know them by their fruits. Let me hang around somebody for a while, and I'll tell you what's important to them. Because it'll come out. Years ago, when Bible class, I was out and I was inviting people to church and trying to share the gospel, and I was in Chicago and I was walking, this guy was outside, an older guy, and I'm just trying to make conversation. I invite you to church, and everything was a one-word answer. This guy wouldn't talk about anything. And then I heard something in the background. I heard the Cubs game was on in his house. And I'm like, do you like the Cubs? And it was like I flipped the switch on. He's like, oh, I love the Cubs. And then I knew right there, he needs Jesus. Cubs have been bad forever. And I was living in Chicago, and I kind of liked the Cubs at that time. And we talked about the Cubs for a long time. And then I tried to steer the relay. But you know what? When I found out what was important to him, oh, he talked. Yeah. And he talked. See, what is important to you? What are you all about? That's the fruit of your life. And so if you love God, it's going to be evident. People are going to notice it. Yeah. To find out if this is true in your life, that God is working in your life, let me ask you a couple questions. Is your life distinguishable from the lives of those in our world that don't know Christ? See, we try to blend in. We try to hide who we are. It's going to come out. And as we mentioned on Sunday morning, the world's not going to let you hide anymore. They want to know what you're like. But the fact of the matter is, and I always say it, wherever I worked, I always made sure right off the bat they knew I was a Christian. I wanted that out in the open. Not that I was better than them. I just wanted them to know who I was. That's all. And it kind of kept me in check too. Yep. But we struggle. But we're trying to hide it out. Fact of the matter is, if you never told them, there ought to be some things just by watching you. You know, if you work somewhere, not to meddle for a minute, you'll be one of the better workers. Yep. Look, I worked in a union shop. Okay? You're not getting a promotion. You're not getting the certain job you want unless you have seniority. That's what it was all about. Fact of the matter is, once you were past your 90-day probation and you were in, I mean, it was really hard to fire you. So, they would give us a probationary period, right? And you work, and after 90 days, they got to decide, are you in or not? And they wanted to watch you because once they're in, they can't get rid of you. And you could always tell. The guys would joke around like, there's a new one. Go ahead, guy's running around like a maniac. He's working hard. But you could always tell day 91, slowing down. Look, and I'd look around and like, these guys are lazy. They're taking it easy. But I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do that. They kept track of how many orders. And I'm like, if they're going to keep track, I'm going to have the most orders done each night. Yeah. I don't want anybody to look at me and say, that guy says he's a Christian. He's as lazy as sin. Okay? So there ought to be some evidence. Be a good worker. That didn't go well. Yep. The people at work ought to know you're a Christian. Yep. Don't grumble and complain. You know, the ones that sit in the break room? Well, you know, and you're complaining too. Look, no, your boss isn't perfect. I'm glad none of the staff said amen right there. Okay, but what is griping about it going to do? I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's not going to change your boss, but it's going to ruin your testimony. Is there evidence? Are you allowing God to make a difference in your life? There are 9 fruits that are mentioned. We're going to look at these fruits. Some of them will be harder to achieve than others because of our sinful nature. And let me say this, everybody is different, right? Your personalities are different. When I married my wife, one of the qualities she had that I totally struggled with was mercy, right? You know, someone calls me and says, hey, I'm having trouble in my life. I'm like, well, just get right with God. That'll fix it. You know, my wife's like, well, what's going on? You know, can I help you do all this? So some of us, we have... By the way, I'm not like that. I don't. But some of that stuff's easier for you. You naturally have goodness. You're naturally long-suffering. Some of us aren't. But you know the thing is, we're supposed to have all of these. Yep. Well, you know, Pastor Myers, I just tell it like it is. That's just who I am. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, you mean you're, what's the word I'm looking for? Rude. You don't understand. The way I was brought up, that's just how we are. Oh, so you're making excuses. Well, I was brought up that way. I had all those things, but I cannot give an excuse if these things are not evident in my life. And we're going to go over all. Now, I look at some of them and like, you got to be kidding me. I have to do that. I get it. I don't want to be patient. I don't have time for that. I don't want to be long-suffering. That just doesn't sound fun. But I got to be that way. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And if God is working in my life, he's going to help me. But you know what? We make excuses for everything we do. Well, that's hard. Duh. It is hard. Sometimes you gotta bite your tongue. Sometimes you wanna say something. It's like, can I go outside real quick? And then they hear a bang, and you come back in and say, what's wrong? Nothing, everything's good. Okay. But there are things in my life I tried to deal with, and I couldn't. When I was younger, there was just all kinds of things. Even though I wasn't right with God and I wasn't saved, I just didn't like the way I was living sometimes. And I just didn't, But I couldn't change it. I mean, I tried. And it's like, how come I keep failing? And then it's like, just forget it. I'm just going to go with it. But you know what happened? Not everything. But when I got right with God and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to try to start living for him and reading my Bible and learn some things, I look back down the road months later, I'm like, hey, I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah. Hey, now, bear witness, there's a lot of areas I'm still working on, okay? So I don't need you to give me a list. My wife's got a list already, so we're working on it. But what happened? I wasn't doing it my own. Yeah. I was trying to allow God to do something in my life. And by the way, I had times when I failed. Man, there's a few times I acted in a certain way. I'm like, man, what did I do? That's been months since I acted like that towards somebody. But it's like, it's okay. I've made progress. But you have to do it on your own. The Spirit of God will do it. And we have to let him work in our lives. And let me just ask you this. We're done. Are you making progress? I mean, can you look at your life, the beginning of last year to this year? Have you made strides? I didn't say, did you get to the end of the road? You ain't getting there. But if you can say, you know what, Pastor, God is doing some things and it's still working in my life and I'm still going forward, I'm still trying, that's good. Keep it up. Don't get discouraged. What happens is we get discouraged. We're going down the road, we've made a lot of progress, and we get a spiritual flat tire. Well, you don't turn around and go home. You fix the flat and you get back on the road. Okay? And God will work in your life if you'll let him. But you got to let the Spirit work. It's like that cup. Let the water in and let the air out. Let the Spirit in and let the flesh be pushed to the sideline. And then God can produce these things in our life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you use the Spirit of God through the Word of God to produce the qualities in our life that you want us to have. And Lord, it's a process, a lifelong process. And I pray you'd help us to, if we're not on that journey, I pray you'd help us to get on that journey. Lord, if we're on that journey and we're down the road, I pray you'd help us to continue to go that way. Continually work in our lives to make us more like Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.